There's a battle that rages. We read about in Ephesians chapter 6. You can turn there and just read a little bit of that scripture tonight, and then we'll get into the message. But there's a battle that rages anytime you get up to teach a Sunday school class, or you get up to sing, or you get up to preach, or do anything that's going to affect other people. There'll be a battle that rages about it, because the devil will like to do everything he can to stop it and to keep it from happening, and try his best to discourage and take away. And again, let me preface what I'm about to say tonight with this, and realizing the fact that when you preach a message like I'm going to preach tonight, God will help me, and he has certainly done so this morning, but I pray that he'll continue that tonight to help us, because if he don't get in it, it won't be worth anything anyway. But we talked about the fact that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Our battle with principalities and powers and wickedness in high places. And it is a battlefield. It's not a playground. It's a battlefield. And it's easy to get caught up in things of the world. It's easy to kind of let the flesh get by with this and that and not realize it. And so all of us are guilty. And I say tonight, I preach to me and I preach to you and I preach to everybody here. And anything that hits on your grounds, then I pray that you will accept it as from God and let God help you, and let's go on for God and live for God. I just felt like God burdened my heart about it. I said I've been thinking about it for some time. I'm not too sure. Man, I ought not preach this every 2 or 3 months, 3 or 6 months anyway. And here we stand. We all know where we stand. And so here we stand. And that's what we're going to pick up on tonight. But if you turn your Bibles to Ephesians 6, verse number 11, and stand, please. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand against, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Now he's given us what we're up against. Then he gives us what, wherefore, that because of that, we need to take the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Now I pause there to say we're living in an evil day. And having done all to stand, stand. And I believe that's where we ought to be tonight. And as we begin the year 2012, that we're going to stand. When we've done everything we can do to stand, we're going to stand by the grace of God. I don't believe that God would tell us to stand if he wouldn't give us grace and help to stand. I believe he gives us strength to do so. But I also want to stand in compassion and love. I don't sound mean. I said this morning about half mad. But I'm about half mad at the devil. I guess I'm always mad at the devil. And no mad at any person, just the sin and the things we see creep in and things that happen. Jesus went in the temple and he saw those money changers. He kicked over tables. He did. He kicked over tables and ran them out with a whip. And he said, well, man, he got pretty excited. He did. But he didn't sin. He didn't know sin. He was angry at sin. He was angry at the things of ungodliness. And I believe that you and I, sometimes we get so used to sin that it doesn't bother us. And we don't have any emotion toward it because it doesn't bother us, and that everybody else's problem, not ours. But then we look at ourselves and see ourselves. And so I'm simply prefacing it with, I pray that God will help you and God will help me, and that all of us get something from it tonight. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you tonight, God, for everybody that's here. And I know there are those here that are hurting. Lord, physically, there are those here hurting emotionally. And death has come into their families and certainly has brought that grief. I ask in Jesus' name that the grace of God would abound unto them, that you'd help them in a special way. I pray then, Heavenly Father, you'd watch over and care for every family, every individual, And Lord, help us tonight that we'll get our hearts in the message and how you dealt with my heart, that I may be able to share that with others, and that we all may get some help and be better witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray tonight you'll bless and have your way. Magnify yourself, speak to the unsaved, convict by your power, draw unto yourself. And then, Father, those who may be here tonight and grown cold, indifferent, backslidden, I pray they'd come to Jesus tonight, and we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Here we stand. Turn with me back in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse number 8. I'm not going to try to re-preach what I preached this morning. I'm simply going to review it quickly. And then if you was not here and you'd like to have it all, then I think it's on CD, and you can pick it up from that. And there's a sign-up sheet in the back, and you can get one and hear it all. But in chapter 40, verse number 8, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. It shall stand forever. We have in the King James Bible the preserved word of God. It is absolutely God's word to us, and we have it. I thank God for it. There's people in this world that would weep over getting the Bible. There's people in this world would get one page of the Bible, would be excited and weep over it. I say tonight, we are a blessed people to have the access to the word of God that we have. And thank God for this precious word. I pray that God will make it a real part of our lives in 2012. And that it may, he'll do the work. My word, he said, will not return to him void. It would accomplish for him that he sends it. And I believe he sends it by preaching, but I also believe he sends it by reading it into your heart. You ever been struggling with something, all of a sudden you got a verse? It leaped out there at you. Might as well God spoke to you. I remember when God called me to preach, he didn't speak audibly. I didn't see any lightning, but I tell you, he might as well spoke audibly. That verse of scripture came out there just as real to me. I knew it was there, I guess. I read it before, but I really didn't know a whole lot. But I kept struggling with that thing, if it's something I wanted to do, because God did in my heart with it about it, and I couldn't get away from it. And I said, God, take it away or make it worse, and it got worse. And I was reading in John 15 and 16, said, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And I'd like to jump down the ceiling. Amen. I needed help then, sure enough. I say, Lord, I know just as well God called me to preach as I do that God ever saved me by his grace. And I thank him and praise him for it. Unworthy to be saved, unworthy to do anything, but thank God for his grace. Now let's turn in Jeremiah before I get started up on that one. Jeremiah chapter number 6, verse number 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the way and see, and ask for the old paths, and where is a good way, and walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. And so many people today are saying the same thing. We will not walk therein. The Lord said, stand and look back and ask for the old paths. I said this morning, we like the old time way. We're not modernistic. We haven't gone that way. We're not going to. By the way, we're not going to have a big screen at the Super Bowl. Amen. Won't even have popcorn. Amen. We're just going to have church. Amen. Amen. We're not going to take time and all that stuff. Hey, we're just going to have church. You're welcome. I just thought I'd toss that out. Amen. But anyway, these things are more important than ball games. I may not be anything wrong with the ball game in its place, but there's more things important than that. And church is one of them. Worship God's one of them. Praying, singing, preaching, rejoicing, praising God. I want to be such a spirit in the church in 2012 that you always have that liberty to shout. You say, preacher, I don't believe in shouting. You sure you want to go to heaven? I read in the book over in Revelation where they're shouting, praising God, and bowing, saying, worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb. Hey, glory, hallelujah. I want to get tuned up now for it. Amen. And let her rip while we have time and opportunity down here. We're here to worship him, praise him, give him glory. We're behind in a praise anyhow. And it's certainly good to raise your hand, say amen, or glory, hallelujah, or let your liver quiver, do something, amen, do something, and let the joy of God be real in your heart, in your life, and worship God. And I remember Joshua, I guess it's one of my favorite things about Joshua, that when he's outside the city of Jericho, and he fell down at the appearance of Jesus there, and he fell down. When he found out who he was, he fell down his feet, and he told him to take off his shoes, and he didn't ask him why. He didn't ask him anything about it. Didn't say his feet stunk. He didn't say, well, what's that got to do with me getting that city? I believe he forgot about Jericho. I believe he forgot about what was going on around him. All he knew was he was face to face with the Son of the living God, and he was going to obey him and fall down and worship him. Amen. We need to come into church that way. Forget about everything else and problems and difficulties and all the heartaches and all the sorrow. Now, I'm really preaching to myself now, and I need to do that. But I come in sometimes, and I got this on my mind, that on my mind, something else on my mind, and y'all spiritual, y'all never do that. But I do. I come in with all that stuff on my mind and then try to worship and struggle with it. But I'm glad, praise God, sometimes you can just come in, say, God, here I am. And that problem over there and that problem over there and that situation over there, you can handle it. I can't handle it. Don't know what to do with it. I'm absolutely helpless. And let her go. Amen. And get in. And don't worry about somebody laughing at you. You may get excited and want to stand up and say, whoop. Amen. I said, thank God for amazing grace a while ago. Brother Tim, he thought I was trying to give him sing another song or something. But that's all right. He just didn't hear what I said. I'm used to that. My wife, I'll ask her what she said several times. And she said the other day, and Errol was with her in the hospital, and she said, you got selective hearing. They were whispering. I heard what they said. I'll be like the fellow that kept on about having bad hearing, trying to go get some hearing aids. He went back to see the doctor, and the doctor said, what's your family think about him? He said, I hadn't told them yet. Said, but I've changed my wheel 3 times. So, I don't know. But we need to worship, that's for sure. I want you to turn with me, please, in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse number 13. Here we stand, the Word of God, the King James Bible. Here we stand about worship, old-time, old-fashioned worship of God. And letting God have his way. Sometimes it gets too wet to plow. Amen. We just get in and worship, have a good time. Verse 13, chapter 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quiet ye like men, be strong. Now I want you to see here what he's saying. Stand fast in the faith. He didn't say your faith or my faith. He said, stand fast in the faith. I want to stand fast in the faith. Somebody said, preacher, it doesn't really make any difference what you believe as long as you're sincere about it. I disagree with you. Plead, beg, do something. But to disagree with that, because it does make a difference what you believe. If what you believe doesn't line up with the Word of God, what you believe isn't worth a flip. And there's a whole lot of folk out here believing a whole lot of things that doesn't line up with the Word of God. Amen. I don't find any place in the Word of God where God ever told a man he's going to let him find a special pair of glasses so he could read something some angel supposed to have wrote and he got and added to the Bible and all that stuff, and you could have a dozen wives in heaven if you were real good. I just thought I'd toss that out. Amen. See where you are tonight. What I'm trying to say to you is the Bible is God's authority. And here he says, contend for the faith. Over in Jude, verse number 3, Jude was writing, and he said, I meant to write to you about the common salvation, but it was needful that I write unto you concerning that you contend for the faith, the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. What he was saying was that body of beliefs, that you contend for that body of beliefs. I believe there's some things worth dying for. Amen. Now, there's some things we may have a preference about that we wouldn't die for, but a conviction is something you would die for. I have a conviction about the Word of God. Amen. Have a conviction about worship of God and how we ought to do it. Have a conviction about the faith. I believe the faith, the Bible is the word of God and authority on that. I believe you must be born again to go to heaven. You say, preacher, do you believe that those people over there in foreign lands that never have heard the gospel and nobody's ever told them, do you believe they won't go to heaven? The Bible said, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life, and no man come unto the Father but by me. If that is true, and it is true, God cannot lie. That being true, then that means everybody's never heard and they reach an age of accountability. They're responsible to God for themselves, amen. And there's something innate in every man, woman, and boy and girl. There's something inside a man that lets him know there's a supreme being. There's never been a civilization found that did not believe in some supreme being. They might have had a moon god. They might have had some other kind of god, a stump or a stone or something they worship, but they had something. And I'm telling you, it's something in man makes him want to worship God. And they need to hear. And by the way, if you go back far enough, there's a time when everybody knew.
Yes, sir.
Everybody knew the right way. You don't even have to go back to Adam and Eve. When Noah and his wife and children came off the ark, they knew God. They knew God. God spared them through the flood. From there on, at the day of Pentecost, it says every nation under heaven was represented in that day. If everybody would carry the gospel as God commanded us to do, we wouldn't have been in the mess we're in the world today. The gospel would have been sent, amen, and we would have the gospel out. I think about Southern Sudan, at Brother Gary and myself and other board members of the Prior Baptist and other missionaries have a burden about that land. That country is wide open right now and need missionaries to go. And I'm getting ahead of myself. I'll get to that later, but I'm telling you right now, we need missionaries to go there. And somebody somewhere back yonder failed to present the gospel to them. And what happened to us in America? Now we're really going to get down to business. What happened to us in America back several years ago, and I was a young preacher. I was coming on, and there was real revival. And when I got saved, there was a real revival spirit moving in that part of the country. And when God called me to preach, it was. It seemed like a revival spirit. And you preach, people come get saved. I remember preaching in a little old store building and sitting on handmade benches, and people would park outside the door and listen to us preach. And some of them come in and get saved. And I'm not bragging on anything I did. I'm talking about what God was doing. I was just a young preacher. I didn't hardly know what I was doing. I was just getting the Bible up and far and away. And God did what he did, and I say praise God for it. It was wonderful. Some of y'all here know about Rural Retreat Baptist Church, what happened there. But God so wonderfully moved and did a work. And I praise him and thank him for that. What I'm trying to say is the body of beliefs had to be right, or we missed it, amen, get the body of beliefs right so that a church could go on. If you can get people stirred up emotionally and get them to come, but they had that movement of revival. But then after that, it got a little harder. And the man in Merlin one time told me, he was an old preacher. He'd come and I'd preached that night. He said, if that had been preached a few years ago, everybody in the house had been on the altar crying. There's a few came, but wasn't many. And he and I was talking about this thing. But then after that, it got a little hard to get people to come. Got a little hard to get people to repent. Got hard to get people to listen to God. And then came this easy believism along. Yeah. And if you just believe, and I don't like a sweep over the house to get everybody saved, unless God does it.
Yeah.
Now, if God sweeps over the house, thank God. Amen. But I don't like this thing of getting you up to pray and asking everybody's lost, now you pray and now you're saved. I heard a man preaching one time and he said, if I'm not saved, God save me, and I'm saved now. I believe more to it than that.
Yes, sir.
I'm not trying to make it hard. When the Holy Ghost is convicting you and drawing you and you come to Jesus and cry out to him, I believe people get saved coming down the aisle sometimes. I believe you get saved before they ever get to the altar sometime. I believe that. It is easy to believe if you get the right belief right and the Holy Ghost is doing his thing right, and then you get in the right position, spiritually and in your mental capacity and your heart belief right. It's not a hard thing to do because God does the saving and you don't anyway. My father-in-law said when he got saved, there's one man on one side of him praying and saying to him, Ralph, you're holding on to something. Said another man on the other side saying, Ralph, turn loose. Hold on, turn loose. He said, I didn't know what to do. And said, finally, I cried out to God and said, God, if I go to hell, I'm going to go believing I'm saved. And said, just as soon as he did that, he knew he was saved. And he knew he wasn't going to hell. And he knew it was all right. You know what happened to him? He took that step of faith and just put it all in God's hands and trusted him fully, completely. And I am convinced tonight that many people don't have assurance of salvation because they never really made a full step of faith and believe that they are saved. I want you to know tonight you can believe that you are saved if you really repent and really God's working in your heart, get under real conviction, and you really make a step of faith. You can know that you know that you know that you know that you're saved. 1 John 5 says these things are written that you may know that you have eternal life. Amen. And so we need to understand that we can know we have eternal. By the way, we do have eternal life. I'm going to hit that in a lick or two while I'm here. Because here we stand. Here we stand. Here's what we're going to stand for 2012. Here's this wonder. I call it wonder. I was alliterating that thing, got down there. I was thinking about the gospel and how it came. Jesus came virgin born, went to the cross of Calvary and died, rose from the dead, and was sent back into hell. I said, wonderful. Wonderful. And I'm thinking about the wonder of it. I get amazed at it. Somebody said, well, somebody else couldn't die for everybody. Well, somebody did die for everybody. But we see Jesus made a little lower than angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Every man. Didn't say some men. Didn't say good men. Didn't say those men that didn't cuss or drink liquor. He said for every man. He died for every drunk. He died for every harlot. He died for every sinner, everywhere, all the time. I say to you tonight, thank God you can be saved. You can be saved. Now, I know some people quench the spirit. They grieve the spirit. They won't listen to the spirit. They won't get saved. But I'm telling you, there'll be a day when judgment comes you wish you had. There'll be a day when you go to hell, screaming hell, you'll wish 1,000 times. You give over 10,000 worlds to come sit back in a church like his and hear somebody preach. I mean to tell you tonight, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Amen. And when he saves forever. Yes. You say, preacher, what if you do this or do that? You may do this or do that, but you can't be lost. Right. If God saved you, and God can't lie, and God said, I give him eternal life, and you got eternal life, how are you going to lose it? Right. If it's eternal, it can't be partial. It can't be part-time. It can't be for a little while. If it's eternal, it has to be eternal. If it's eternal, then it can't end. If it can't end, then I'm saved forever and ever. You say, preacher, y'all not preaching like that. People go out and live like a devil. Anybody takes that and runs out and lives like a devil, says I'm saved forever, they're not saved to start with. They don't know anything about the Holy Ghost of God. They don't know anything about being born in the family of God. Anybody think that way, God, the Holy Spirit would immediately knock it out of them. They immediately fall under chastening of God. And I believe God take them home before he let them go very long. Amen. But that's not, and I just don't believe you can think that way and be saved. But I think that way because I am saved. Amen. Have eternal life, everlasting life. Aren't you glad you have eternal life? Everlasting life, never going to die. I say hallelujah and praise God and the Lamb forever. Jesus is the only way to heaven. And he gives salvation. It's forever and forever. You believe that? Yes. Glad you do. I'm going to give you something else. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4. If I can find it. It's in here. I think it's 1 Thessalonians 4 I'm looking for. I'll look for it until I find it. There it is. Verse number 1. Now y'all hang with me. Don't y'all resign yet. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, exhort you by the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us, how ye ought to walk, how ye ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. I'm talking about the walk now. Here we stand. Here we stand. And how we walk. I just preached to you that we're saved by grace through faith. And that's how we get saved. It's not our power to save ourselves. It's Jesus' power that saves us. But after we get saved, born in the family of God, we ought to live right. Amen. Ought to have a desire to please God in our life. If you don't have a desire to please God, then you're going to please self. You're going to please the devil. You're going to be pleasing somebody else. But if you have a desire to please God, you're walking in the right direction. Amen. This is a manner of living. I want you to look in 2 Timothy chapter number 2, verse 19. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Pretty straightforward, isn't it? Everybody names the name. I want you to turn with me over in Ezekiel chapter 22. Or if you want to just listen to it, I'm going to read verse number 30. You're familiar with it. I'm sure if you've been in church any time, you've heard preaching from it. Now, here's what it says. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge, stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. If there's ever a time we need to find some people that'll stand in the gap, make up the hedge, so God don't destroy us, it is today. It is today. And I'm not just talking about politicians. I'm talking about all of us. Amen. Every one of us. We need to stand in the gap, make up the hedge, live in a manner of living that would please God, bring glory to him, and let God be God in our lives. Now, I'm going to give a few examples, and this is not the easiest thing I've ever done in my life, but it's needful to be done. So y'all just hang with me and pray for me and ask God to help you. Ask God to help me. I need help in this area. All of us do. If we're not careful, we'll let the world influence us so much that we begin to move in that direction before we realize it and don't even know it. And it'll affect how we act. It'll affect how we dress. It'll affect how we, amen. And let me share with you tonight. But when I hit the dress thing just a minute, I think women all dress like women. You're welcome. Take it for what it's worth. But come to the house of God, and I noticed that, and this is against nobody individual, because there's been more than one done it. And these are tight things. I mean tight. Way and dress way short. Women, do you know that bothers men? Some man tell me that doesn't bother him. I wouldn't even be in a dark room with him. Men are men. Amen. And ladies said, well, I'm not trying to evoke him. What are you trying to do? The Bible says from the knee to the hip is the thigh. I mean, that is the thigh. And he said, if you show your thigh, you show your nakedness. Amen. Some of you look pale. But I'm trying to help you. I'm not doing this mean. I mean it with all my heart. I want to help you. I love you. I don't want to see children grow up in a church that doesn't have a standard about how they're going to dress, how they're going to look. They need that. Amen. I believe men all look like men. Cut their hair. Amen. Look like a man. I believe women can wear earrings and a ring. Men can wear a ring, but those earrings got to go. On men. First time I ever saw a man wearing an earring, I thought, my soul, something's happened to him. He got mixed up who he is. He done flipped out somewhere. But I realized today, you know why this happens? Because it's little by little the world, they're so worldly with it that Christians pick it up. I heard a preacher say one time, if 10 women walk down the road without a top on at all, the 10th one would probably be a Baptist. And probably true. We pick up on how the world does it, then we won't do it the same way. That's not the way it's supposed to be. That's fleshly. But if you stay close to God, God will convict you about it. And God will help you with it. Amen. Then you can straighten up about it. Well, amen. Good preaching, preacher. Let's hang in there a few minutes and think about this thing for a little bit and let God help us. You know, not to be mean, but if you went to the mall, and I've used this for illustration trying to help, if you went to a mall and you saw a group of young people over here, or older either for that matter, and they were dressed like ladies and young men ought to be dressed and look neat, and over here was a group that looked shaggy and breeches and no holes and all that stuff, and you looked over here at them, which one would you immediately identify that may be Christian? Which one would you immediately look at and say, I bet they're Christians? I know which one it would be. You do too. But we don't like preaching like that. We don't like somebody to tell us that. But I'm trying to be as compassionate as I can because we need it. I want young people to grow up and have some convictions and have something in them. And here we stand. And I don't intend to waver on that. And even though there ain't nobody in this house loves these young folk any more than I do, and children any more than I do, but I believe we ought to have some convictions about how we dress, how we look, what we do. Amen? And you're welcome. We need that. We all need that. I'm trying to help you. I'm not trying to hurt you. I want to help you. And you say, preacher, I don't like you doing that, but listen, if you just let God help you, hey, I've got things in my life I need to work on. You got some in your life you need to work on, so we'll just all work together. And here we stand. Amen. He'll help us if we'll let God help us. And God doesn't make it so we can't be helped. And by the way, let me throw this in while I'm at it. And in church, no place to be using cell phone. Unless you're on call from work, it's necessary to look at it, read a text, and go help somebody. I know some of you people on call sometimes. And so I understand that, but you don't need to be texting somebody while you're sitting in the house of God. It can wait till you get through the house of God to text them. And don't need to be playing video games. Well, no cutting your toenails or fingernails either. Don't need to be doing that. Need to be listening to what the preacher's saying. Need to be listening to what's going on in the house of God. Get your life straightened out. Amen. You'd be surprised what the preacher sees while he's preaching. It's amazing sometimes, but anyway, they'll count the lights sometimes. I believe my watch stopped. Y'all been through, but now. Well, y'all got it. Y'all got what I'm saying. Let me give you the last one. I'll try to hush. Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, verse 10. That you may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in knowledge of God. Here we stand. Work. That's kind of a bad word, isn't it? We're saved by grace through faith. Let me remind you of Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, 10. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not yourselves is the gift of God, not of works. Lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We works is in there, but you got to get saved first. We're not working to get to heaven. We're work because we are going to heaven, and we want to be involved in God's work and be a blessing. When you get involved in God's work and you're trying to be a witness or you're trying to help in the work and whatever's going on around here, it's a joy. It'll help you, amen. And I love to see people getting enjoying serving God. There'll be people down here in this kitchen working during Jubilee, and it's hard work, and they'll get tired and wore out. But when people coming through there, they'll be smiling at them and enjoying what God's blessings on them because they be a help to people. I say hallelujah. Isn't that good? Isn't it good to be a help and a blessing? And then sometimes we'll need somebody to clean up out here during Jubilee, and somebody be out here and everybody else down there, and they'll be up here singing Amazing Grace, running the vacuum cleaner. Hey, hallelujah, amen. Washing out a toilet, doing something, amen. I tell you, it's a joy to serve God. But if you sit around always looking for something, well, they didn't bless me today. No, we've all blistered you. Well, I'm about to get out of line. I better get back in line. Y'all still with me? Amen. Good preaching, good preaching. And I say it because I realize the fact that we're living in a generation that would love to take our young people and drag them down, make them look like the rest of the world and act like the rest of the world, then tell them they're saved and going to heaven, everything's fine. I love you. And I want you to live for God, do that that's right, please God in all things. I would, best thing these young folk can have is a good dose of old time salvation. Get excited about Jesus. Get excited about living for God. And just live for God. I want you to bow your heads. Close your eyes. Brother Tim, before you sing, Brother Mike Boone, I want you to come sing that song you sung the other night for invitation. Brother Tim's going to be up here and be ready to help if you need to. Brother James, just hang around. Might need you. That song did something to me. God wants you. That's why I've been preaching today. Here we stand. God wants you to stand. God wants me to stand. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. I pray tonight, seal it to hearts. God, help us stand where we need to stand in 2012. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand our feet, please. Now, he's a good singer, but just listen to the words of it and let God speak to your heart and respond to it. God wants you.
Abraham prayed for the day that God would give him a son. Blessed Isaac was his name, the greatest gift he ever known. But then came the day, who would have dreamed that God said give him back to me. But on the mountain you gotta prove it's either you and Isaac or it's me and you. Now when I lay my Isaac down with a broken heart, but God the Father and on the altar where he lay, just to find it wasn't him, he wanted me.
Amen. Amen.
Now most of us, I dare to say, has got an Isaac in God's way. But on the altar you can prove it's not your Isaacs that God wants, he's a wanting you. Now when I lay my Isaac down with a broken heart, but God the Father's proud, and on the him, he wanted me. Now most of us, I dare to say, has got an Isaac right in God's way. But on the altar you can prove it's not your Isaacs that he wants, you know he wants you. Now when I lay my Isaac down with a broken heart, but my father's proud and on wasn't him, he wanted me.
Amen.